Let's look in John chapter 6. The need is so great. The time is so short. And the laborers are so few. America has gotten too comfortable. God has blessed us to spiritually death. And I'm thankful for the blessings. But don't let that blessing and that comfort steal your burden and your vision. And your daring spirit to do something for the glory of God in these last days. Last night we talked about something in John chapter 6. Feeding the 5,000. Oh yeah, make the men sit down. I don't know. Kind of got hung up on that one for a little while. And all the grass in the desert. And the leftovers were gathered up. Brings us to verse number 15. John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now the moral of that story is, when people are trying to exalt you, the best thing to do is get away from them. They start patting you on the back too much, telling you how great you are, you better run and hide. Even your Savior knew to do that. They seldom have your best interest at heart when they're praising you. Verse 16, and when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. It was dark. Their disciples, they've been following Jesus. They've been seeing the miracles. But now, it's dark. Did you know that serving God is not always glory to God, hallelujah, let's let the light shine? Sometimes it's just dark. So, you want to reach people with the gospel? You want to get the gospel in all the world, every creature? Then you're going to have to transition from popularity to peril. You're going to have to make the transition from feeding the 5,000, to fear in verse 19. They were afraid. Great men of God who had witnessed the power of God, and their hearts are trembling with fear. Oh, but don't they know that God can take care of this? Of course they know that, but it's dark. You always know it when the glory's shining and the light's shining. But do you know that God will take care of it when it's dark? Notice what the verse said. Verse 17, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. I'll tell you what to put your faith to the test. When the darkness descends on your heart and life like you've never experienced it before, and you cannot find Jesus. Can I get an amen from any missionaries? I love great missionary stories, but we don't usually get to hear about the dark times when Jesus didn't come. But that's when faith is really put to the test. No light and no God. Now what you going to do? You want to reach people with the gospel? You're going to have to prepare for some things that are not very pleasant. Drama that you have no control over whatsoever. I don't know if you've read Sister Lynn Mullen's book yet or not. If you haven't, you need to get it and read it. I understand you have some in your bookstore. If you run out, let me know. I brought some. But buy yours first. Great book by a great missionary wife who understands my point that I'm preaching right now. Drama that you can't. We live in a world that has fallen in love with drama. The driving force behind social media is drama. Because of drama queens and drama kings. You say, what is a drama king? A man that acts like a woman. Sir, if you like to get on social media and stir up drama, you are gender confused. Did I just say that? Did I really mean that? I'm telling you, people set out to destroy other people nowadays with their social media drama. Right. You need to quit that. Yeah. If you're guilty of that, just quit it. Amen. If you can't quit it, kick yourself till you can. Amen. You say, I can't reach myself, but come up here and I'll help you. You need to quit being such a drama queen. Destroying people's lives and testimonies because of what you suppose happened. What you heard happened. The word suppose is in the Bible. In fact, in this story, when it says that Jesus did not come unto them, then he comes walking on the sea in verse 19. One of the other gospel accounts said, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit. That word suppose means a conclusion that is not based on the facts. And you take action on your conclusion that has no factual basis. They supposed that they had seen a spirit because obviously a man cannot walk on the water. So people say things like this, I know what I saw. They didn't. They saw, but they didn't know what they saw. So they supposed because they were sure they knew what they saw. You need to get over this business, amen, and saying, I know what happened, I saw it. I know what happened, I heard it with my own ears. You might not have heard what you thought you heard. You might not have seen what you thought you saw. You ever play that little game? Young people, you know, where you have this circle and somebody tells a story and they tell it to the one next to them and you get to the last one and you're doing it whispering silently and you get to the last one and they tell it and everybody dies laughing because the story has no resemblance to the one that started. Everybody changed it a little bit. That's what people do on social media. I'm not going to tell you to get rid of it, but I'm going to tell you, quit believing it. And quit using it to hurt people. Well, you don't know what they did to me. They deserved it. You might have supposed that they did it. Maybe somebody else orchestrated the whole deal and just suckered them in there where they'd get the blame. There are some devious people in this world. You want to reach people with the gospel? You're going to have to stop this drama. And if drama is in your life that someone else causes that you don't deserve, you're just going to have to accept it and stop trying to defend yourself. Your Savior did not go to the cross broadcasting His innocence. Was He unjustly condemned? Was He unjustly accused? Was He unjustly crucified? Absolutely. And yet He opened not His mouth as a lamb before shears is dumb. Well, how long is it going to take us to figure out that's the best way to handle everybody's accusations against us? Instead of insisting that you're innocent, just let them say whatever they want to say. Everything in your flesh is going to protest what I just said. You're going to want to prove that you had no part of that. But Shakespeare said, "Methinks thou dost protest too much." The more you argue your case, the more guilty you look. But you haven't figured that out yet. Just let them say whatever they want to say. I tell kids in Christian schools, they're always saying, "Well, I don't have very many friends." I said, "I can tell you how to get more friends." "Yeah, how, preacher?" I said, "When the teacher says, 'I want to know who did so-and-so,' I said, just raise your hand and say, 'That's me.'" He said, "Even if I didn't do it?" I said, "Yeah." Take the blame. Take the blame for everything, for everybody. I did it. I've had teachers come to me after I preach that and say, "Are you encouraging kids to lie?" I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus lie when He went to the cross and took the blame for your sins?" No, He was just taking the blame. We don't even want to take the blame for things we did do. Much less things we did not do. Some of you are looking at me right now, like, "I don't believe this preaching. I've never heard anybody preach this in my whole life. I don't know anybody that's ever preached this. I've made it up all by myself." But I'm telling you, Jesus took the blame for me. And I sure do love Him for it. Let me tell you another story. The old preacher I grew up under, my wife's dad, Brother Jack Wood, was a drug addict before he was a preacher. And in his drug addict days, he got busted. He was a sick junkie and he was looking at some time. Back in the days when, as he said, being a heroin addict was not popular. Back in the 50s. He was fixing to go do some long time in the Texas penitentiary. But he had a friend named Chick Pierce. And Chick said, "Jackie boy, they're going to beat you to death in that penitentiary. You're too sick. You can't defend yourself." He said, "I've done time before, and I can handle it." He said, "They're not going to beat me to death." He says, "So when we stand before that judge, You let me do all the talking. You got it? He said, yeah, Chick, I got it. They went before the judge. Chick Pierce said, Your Honor, that wasn't his dope, that was my dope. He didn't know anything about it. The judge said, So you're pleading guilty to this charge? He said, Yes, sir. Boom, and he gave him his sentence. I can't remember how many years he gave him. But Jack Wood got to walk out of that courthouse a free man, even though he was guilty. It's kind of like Jesus and Barabbas. Or Jesus and me. Or Jesus and you. Chick Pierce took the blame. He paid the price. Well, that's been 60 years ago, 70 years ago. I don't know how long it's been. But I'm still telling you about Chick Pierce. An old ex-convict that took the blame for a sick junkie that when he got set free, he got his wife and his baby girl, went to California. That's my wife, Sister Marcia. She was a baby in a crib at that time. Her daddy took her mama and her to California, and he went to church and got born again by the good grace of God. And when he was coming cold turkey off of heroin, he would lay in bed, reach his hand through the bars of the baby crib and hold Marcia's hand to keep him from going back to the dope. So they were always close. They had a special relationship. And he got off the dope. God said, go back to Houston and start preaching. And all the brethren said, you can't preach. You're an old drug addict. You're not qualified. He just got him a tent and some folding chairs, started preaching. People started getting saved. I met her, married her. He trained me. And we're still trying to get the gospel in all the world. Whatever he did wrong, we can give a thank you to Chick Pierce. As well as the Lord Jesus, who had grace for a drug addict that would save his soul, forgive his sins, call him to preach, and let him build a church that gives $1 million to missions. Some of you are so squeaky clean, but you're not going to do anything for God except criticize the guy that wasn't so squeaky clean. There's something wrong with what you got. You want to get the gospel in all the world? You're going to have to get ready for some drama that you cannot control and some severe mood swings. They went from shouting the victory, feeding the 5,000 amen, to rowing this ship and getting nowhere and scared to death. Oh, you better enjoy the mission conferences and the camp meetings and the revival services, amen. You better soak up all you can, because it's going to get dark and Jesus is not going to show up, and you're going to say, what am I doing here? But if you're going to be a missionary, you got to be willing to go through that. Occasionally. Maybe often, maybe even most of the time. By the way, if you want to get involved in this church, I mean really involved, you're going to have to get ready for all that. Which is why a lot of people just don't want to get that involved. Severe mood swings, verses 16 and 17. Frightening circumstances, verse 17 and 18. It's dark. There's no Jesus. The sea arose. The great wind is blowing. They're rowing in verse 19, trying as hard as they can. They're rowing. They get 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. They're rowing as hard as they can. All these disciples, and they cover about 2 football fields. That's how far that is. A little less than 600 feet. Sometimes you're going to be working yourself to death and it seems like you're not going anywhere. Then they see Jesus walking on the sea. And He didn't pass them by. He drew nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. Because they supposed they'd seen a spirit. But surprise, this wasn't a spirit. This was the Master. And when it looked like all was lost and all was in vain, He finally showed up, even though, like Mary and Martha, it seemed like too late. But He's never too late. And the Bible said, then they willingly received Him into the ship. I bet that's the truth. He saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. He's letting them know I'm not a spirit. I'm the guy that you left over there on the bank. You know, I was up on the mountain by myself trying to get along with my Father. Sent y'all into the ship to come on over here. They even thought, carest thou not that we perish? They willingly received Him into the ship. And I look at this next word. Help me. What's the next word? And what? I'm telling you, when God starts working, things start happening. You row and row, and you're not hardly getting anywhere. And then He shows up. And immediately, where's the ship? At the land whither they went. They ended up right where they were supposed to go, and they got, I don't know if I got this right, so you help me after the service if I hadn't gotten this right, but it sounds to me like they're rowing, they're getting very little progress, the waves, the wind, it looks like they're going to perish, and they're just rowing as hard as they can. And Jesus shows up and said, it's I, be not afraid. And they said, come on in the boat, come on in. He steps in the boat and He says, look out over here, boys. There's the land. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He can solve your problem so quick, amen, you'll wonder how you ever thought it got so bad. He just solved it. Immediately, there's the land, right where they were supposed to be. Several lessons in that I don't have time to get into, but one of them is, when it's dark and you can't find Jesus, you just got to keep rowing. You can't just lay down and quit. You got to keep rowing. You got to keep rowing. You got to just keep trying. You just got to keep working. You got to keep praying. You got to keep going. You got to keep witnessing. You got to keep preaching. You got to keep trusting God. You just got to keep on going. And then if you'll keep doing that, He'll just show up one day. Boom, there's the land. There's the victory. Problem solved. Amen. People getting saved. Churches being built. And you're saying, how in the world did this happen? Because God can do a lot more in a lot less time than all of us put together with all of our efforts. The moral of this story is, you got to get past yourself. And it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You say, well, I don't like these people, and I don't like these circumstances, and I don't like all this drama, and I just don't like the difficulty of all this. And it just seems like we're wasting our time, and we're wasting our lives. Just keep rolling. Just keep trusting. And one of these days, you'll show up and you'll say, why didn't this happen 20 years ago? And he's probably going to lean down and say, because I had you in school. And I wanted you to learn some things. And then I wanted to show you it doesn't really depend on you. I can do it. When he fed the 5,000, they thought they needed more money. They thought they needed more food. All they needed was more faith. And when it gets dark and you can't find Jesus, let your faith blossom. And be like Job, if necessary, and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I've seen God do some wonderful things when it seemed like nothing was going to be done. Don't give up, mother. You have a wayward son? Don't give up. You have a prodigal daughter? She may be on drugs. I just gave you one illustration how God can solve that. Are they in the hog pen? Are they in the far country? Don't give up. Amen. And I'm going to give you another piece of advice that most Christians and preachers are not going to give you. So you can take this or leave it. Not only don't give up, but stop preaching to them. Let me look you in your eyeball and tell you that again. One of the reasons they went to the far country was they got sick and tired of people preaching to them. So, yeah, I believe in giving them the Word of God. They're not ready. They already got it. That's one of the reasons they left. They're tired of hearing it. If they call home, don't quote Scripture. Don't preach to them. Here's what you tell them when they call. I sure have been missing you. I sure do love you. You know what I'm basing that on? Charity never fails. How often will it fail? You know, the Bible never said that about preaching. He never said in the Bible that preaching would never fail. Oh, you say, well, if my word will not return void. Yeah, he said, from where I sent it. I'm not sure he's sending it through you. I think you're just venting your frustration with your prodigal. Everybody quotes half of that verse. They need to read the other half. I've seen men take a Bible and they believe if they can just whoop somebody into a corner and win the argument, that's the victory. The Bible never said he that winneth an argument is wise. It's he that winneth a soul. And it's easier to win the soul sometimes if you'll just keep your mouth shut. Instead of telling everything you know. Charity, what? Never. Say it with me. Charity never fails. How often will it fail? Never. 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 Charity never, never fails. It'll never fail. Do you believe this King James Bible? You believe it's the Word of God? How often is charity going to fail? Never. It'll never fail. It'll never fail. It'll never fail. It'll never fail. Charity never fails. One more verse. Pray without ceasing. If you'll love them and you'll pray for them no matter how dark it gets and no matter how far away Jesus may seem, he'll do what he said in his word. If you'll quit hounding them and harassing them and preaching to them and telling them how wrong they are, and just love them. I'm not saying let them live in any way they want to in your house. I'm not saying that. That prodigal son's father never went to the hog pen one time to visit him. And he never sent any money to him.
That's right, preacher.
Never. He'd already given him all the money he was going to give him. We're going at all this all wrong. Charity never fails. Pray without ceasing. Now, you want to be used of God to get the gospel in all the world? You're going to have to learn to love people that can be most unlovable. Amen? They can be so unlovable. They're just not like us. They don't think like us. They don't live like us. They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They're just not like us. But you still got to love them and pray for them, or you'll get bitterness in your heart towards the God who called you to go to them with the gospel. And you'll throw in the towel and quit because it got dark and Jesus didn't show up. And you were just one miracle away from landing at your destination.